this morning. It is so good to sing together. Let me just say as well, thank you to everyone who has been praying for me and for my family. We are so grateful. Beth and the kids have all been tested and their test came back negative. And I am really excited to be able to say as well that as far as I know, no one else from the Houston First Congregation has had any symptoms of anything. And so I'm just really thankful because that tells me that what we're doing in the building is working. And I'm thankful that the social distancing efforts that we are putting forth are making a difference and are making it possible for us to be together and to worship together. I know I'm not there in the building with you right now, just as an extra measure of safety and confidence there, if you will. But I feel so, so good about our plan moving forward and how we can worship together in a safe, safe way. And so again, thank you for praying for me and for my family. It has meant so much to us in these last couple of weeks in particular, and the way that you've just poured out your love to us has been just amazing. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts, really. Thank you very much for all that you have been doing for us. Today, I am particularly excited because we are going to be starting a new sermon series called Wholehearted. And this whole series is going to revolve around King Amaziah of Judah, in his life we learn about in 2 Chronicles chapter 25. So if you have a Bible with you, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles now to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And starting this week and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look into the life of King Amaziah. There are some very peculiar ways in which he is described, and there are also some very peculiar things that he decides to do. And I believe that we have a lot that we can learn today in regard to our relationship with Jesus, that we can learn from Amaziah, that he's teaching us about how to walk with Jesus, how to go with him in all that that we're supposed to be doing. One of the things that I am particularly challenged by in our world today, not even really in the world today, but even in the church, you know, in the church as a whole, is that it seems very possible that we can claim a life with Jesus, that we can claim the forgiveness of our sins, that we can claim the presence of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, yet at the same time, there seems to be this pull on us, whether it's from the world or just from our past or just from our flesh, however you might want to say that. I notice even in myself here, right? Like I claim to be walking with Jesus, yet there's this pull on my life. And not only just toward temptation, because we all know that even as we are seeking lives of holiness, even as we are seeking to live lives of just absolute devotion to God, we know that temptation is always going to be there to try to kind of knock us off of where we are and try to bring in a division within our relationship with Jesus and try to sever that relationship. That's what I was trying to say. Try to sever that relationship there. And so we know that those temptations are out there. But what I'm getting at is it seems like even beyond just temptation towards sin, sometimes as we are pursuing this life with Jesus, it seems like there are these other things out there that are also pulling on our lives that sometimes may come from our history, may come from sort of old ways that we've done things, or maybe just other influences that we have in our lives, other goals that we have in our lives. And because of those other influences and other goals, we claim a life with Jesus, yet we're also not entirely with Jesus either, right? And what where we end up going with that is that we have lips that say Jesus, but we have actions that say something else. And I guess I'm even noticing, particularly in the way that our world is managing some of the tensions of our culture today, whether that would be in regard to race or politics or any number of things, really. We sometimes, and not just in regard to these things, but I've noticed it even in regard to these things, is that sometimes we claim Jesus, but then the actions that we carry out don't exactly reflect Jesus. And so then it just kind of leads me to wonder, like, what do we do with that? What do we do as Jesus people who are claiming the name of Jesus and claiming the influence of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, yet the actions that we are portraying are not always representative of what Jesus' actions would be, right? So what do we do with that? What do we do if we might recognize that in others? What do we do, more than importantly, if we recognize that in ourselves? What do I do if I recognize that my actions are not exactly lining up with what I am claiming about who Jesus is in my life and how God's Holy Spirit is to be at work in my life? And so starting today, we are going to begin this sermon series called Wholehearted, which is a way to look at, like, what would it look like for me to, like, live a life that was absolutely congruent, right? That not only claimed the name of Jesus, but follow Jesus with everything that I have and all that I am. Like, what would that look like? And I believe that King Amaziah and the life of King Amaziah have some things to teach us about what this could look like for us. So let me pray and then we'll get started here into 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Lord God, we thank you so much for your great love for us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us even now. I thank you, Father, that you are speaking into our lives here today, right now. Lord, help us that we would hear from you. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone, God, that your message would be proclaimed in this place, and that more than anything, God, that we would not just hear your word, but God, that we would find a way to do what you are calling us to do, that we might glorify you in our obedience, in our response to your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Let me read for you verses 1 through 4. And it says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Jehoadan. She was from Jerusalem. Amaziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. After the kingdom was firmly in his control, he executed the officials who had murdered his father, the king. Yet he did not put their children to death, but acted in accordance with what is written in the law in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, "Parents shall not be put to death for their children, nor children be put to death for their parents. Each will die for their own sins." Now, this verse 2, is what absolutely caught my attention. And I could not get away from it, right? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. What does it mean to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly, right? I mean, obviously Amaziah was doing, I guess, what could be described as some good things, right? He, even though he did execute the people who killed his father, which, by the way, they killed his father because he killed the son of the priest which might also be looked at as kind of a bad thing, but we won't get into all that right now. But he killed the individuals who killed his father. I suppose that's justifiable, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for life kind of mentality there. And I suppose it was good that he didn't kill their children in light of the law. And so what that means is Amaziah did have an awareness of the law and did have an awareness of what it was to follow God's law and to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Yet it says that he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord wholeheartedly. Now, when I first read that, like, I think of, like, what does it mean for me to do something wholehearted? And for me, obviously, I'm kind of a passionate person, right? I get kind of excited about some things. And so for me, when I think of wholehearted, I think, okay, well, I'm going to do this, like, with all my heart, with all my passion, with all my energy, with all my emotion. Like, I'd like to think that I preach wholeheartedly, right? Like, I give everything to it, like all of my energy, I give my sweat, I give my everything into a sermon, and so that's kind of what came to mind. Like, I give my whole heart in doing that, more of a passion, more of an energy, more of a feeling, more of an emotional kind of thing there. However, and again, I'm not one to go in and sort of break down the original text and those kinds of things. However, there are two words that make up this word for wholehearted. One, which is in fact the word for heart, but as we understand this word, not only in Hebrew but also in Greek, it is not always just the term for the physical organ inside of our chest. But really, the heart is what is central to you, right? Your heart is central to your body. And so anytime you refer to something as the heart of something, right? Like even the heart of Texas, that is that which is central to that thing. And so here, the heart is referred to as what is central to Amaziah. Now, the other word there is actually, in the King James, is actually, I believe it's interpreted as perfect, which also has the connotation of completeness, right? It's wholeness, completeness, and it is at peace, right? So nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing nothing ajar, right? And so this is the understanding here. It's not necessarily that I give all of my passion, but it is that which is central to me is complete and whole and at peace. There is nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing ajar. And what verse 2 is saying here of Amaziah is that while he was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord, there was something central to him that was not whole. There was something central to him that was not perfected, was not complete, was not at peace, right? And we find, even in verse 3, that for Amaziah, where his heart was not at peace was in regard to control. Now, watch this here, because this is what's interesting. So if Amaziah was doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly, what that means is that while at one time he at the very same time that he's doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord, that there is also this other thing that is happening, right? And so so there's this conflict, there's this division within him, there's that which is not complete, that is not at peace. In other words, there are these two things that are kind of pursuing his heart at the very same time. One of those things is to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. However, we find in verse 3 that the other thing is for his control. You see here that when Amaziah felt the firm control of being the king, then he began to make some decisions that, while they may have been in line with God's word, were also in line with him maintaining control there in Judah as the king. See, when your heart is divided, you don't really have a firm grasp on anything because you're always going two directions at the same time. And there's going to come times in our lives where this division, even for Amaziah, we're going to see starting next week, we're going to see where because he has this divided heart, he was going after God, but not wholeheartedly. His heart was divided not only toward God, but also toward his own personal control. And what we're going to see even next week is that when your heart is divided like that, there's going to come a time where you are going to have to choose one way or the other. And many times that doesn't leave you feeling peaceful, and it doesn't leave you feeling whole, and it doesn't leave you feeling complete. In fact, it leaves you feeling fractured, and it leaves you feeling stressed, and it leaves you feeling exhausted and many times depressed. See, church, I wonder if part of the reason that we are experiencing some of this internal conflict within ourselves on a daily basis, I wonder if it's because while we are striving to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, we're not doing so wholeheartedly. It makes me wonder if part of the reason why we're dealing with this lack of inner peace, this lack of or this presence of frustration, maybe part of the reason why we are struggling in our lives sometimes, even though we claim to be Jesus followers, maybe it's because we're not actually following Jesus wholeheartedly. Maybe it's because just like Amaziah, our hearts are divided, and while we are trying to go one way in following Jesus, we are also going this other way, which does not exactly reflect that. See, Amaziah's heart was divided by control. And when you're a king, control is actually a good thing, right? Like you want your king to have control. Otherwise, you're going to have anarchy and nothing's going to go the way that it's supposed to, right? The point is, though, that good things aren't bad. The good things are like control is not a bad thing to have, but good things aren't supposed to divide your heart. Right? There's a lot of things that can divide our heart. Control divided Amaziah's heart. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, but then control also divided his heart. So he didn't serve God wholeheartedly. See, there's actually a lot of good things that aren't supposed to divide our hearts either. In fact, Jesus spoke about this in what could be described as some pretty tough ways, right? In Luke chapter 14, verse 26, it says, Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Why would Jesus say that? Like, why would Jesus go that far with it? Like, why do we have to hate our father and mother? Why do we have to hate our own kids or our spouse? Like, Jesus, what are you talking about? What in the world? In fact, okay, let me make this a little easier for you. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, it says, "Anyone who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So that I guess that makes it a little bit easier there for you, right? Because it's not telling you to hate, but really what Jesus is telling his disciples here is that he has to be the number one. Like, we have to love him more than anything else. Like we have to do what is right in the eyes of Jesus wholeheartedly. There can't be a division, even in regard to the way that we love our families and our own lives. Like, we have to love him with everything that we have. No holding back at all. Because the only thing that's worth your whole heart is your whole life. And Jesus is the only one who can give us that life. Think about this now. The only one that we should ever give our whole heart to is the one who can give us life. Otherwise, if we give our hearts in all these different directions, what we find is that life is actually being stolen from us. Let me show you what I mean. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." See, whatever divides our heart from God, the enemy will use that to steal life from us. But a wholehearted devotion to Jesus not only gives us life, but gives us full life, gives us that complete life, gives us that peaceful life, gives us that perfected life. Do you see this? Like when we actually give everything to Jesus, he gives us that wholehearted devotion and love. Like, we are not able to love God fully on our own. It is only when we submit ourselves to Jesus that we experience that wholehearted love for us that he has, in order that we might be able to reflect that wholehearted love back to God. You see that? See, the irony is that our desire for control will ultimately control us and lead us away from Jesus. Matthew 10 verse 39 says, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Right? So think about this then. What else has your heart? Right? Like, it would scare me to death to think that someone might describe me as someone who does what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but not wholeheartedly. I've got to ask myself, is there anything else that has my heart? Like, for example, like, what you need to think about is, what are those things that you would say on one hand, yes, I follow Jesus, but then I kind of also do this other thing too, right? Whatever that other thing too is, that is what's causing your heart to be divided. So like, for example, maybe in your career, right? You might say, oh yes, I do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but sometimes with my work, I just have to do a couple of things that Jesus might not really be happy with. Or I do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, but I will do whatever it takes for my family, even if that means that I have to fudge the lines a little bit. I'll do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but I'm going to be successful. And if that means I got to break a few rules to get there, then I'm going to be successful. Or I'm going to be in control, or I'm not going to fail, right? Whatever those things are, like, if we say, yes, I follow Jesus, but then there's these other things I do, then our heart is divided. And one of these days, like, the enemy is going to make us choose. Like, we're going to find ourselves in situations where we're going to have to choose that we're either going to follow wholeheartedly Jesus, or we're going to go this other way. And if our hearts are divided, more often than not, we're going to end up going the wrong way. We can't allow ourselves to be there, right? I mean, this shows itself in a lot of different ways, even in regard to just some personal habits we have, right? Well, I do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, but I don't mind getting drunk sometimes. I do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, but I lose my temper and I let anger get the best of me. I do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, but I also have sex outside of marriage. I do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, but. You see how that makes your heart divided? And it keeps us from truly following Jesus in the way that Jesus died for us to follow him, right? So what is keeping you from doing what is right in the Lord, what is right in the eyes of the Lord, wholeheartedly? Like, think about it, right? Like, something caused you to want to follow Jesus in the first place. You saw, maybe it was just this desire to be forgiven of your sins. Maybe it was that, maybe there was some sort of promise of blessing or something like that. Whatever it might happen to be, something caused you to want to follow Jesus in the first place. And my thing is, like if it was worth following Jesus halfway, why wouldn't it be worth following Jesus all the way? Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus does not accept halfway disciples. Either you're going all the way with Jesus or you're going no way at all. Like that's just the only thing that he offers. You're either giving your whole life to him or you're not giving your life to him. See, the truth of the matter is, when the Bible here describes King Amaziah as doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord but not wholeheartedly, what that means is that in essence, he really just wasn't doing everything that God wanted him to do. He actually wasn't doing everything that was right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, the bad news is that we've all fallen short, right? We've all had hearts that have gone away from Jesus. We've all had hearts that have turned from God. And the bad news is we've all been there. But the good news is that Jesus went all the way for us, right? Like, even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us that we might know the forgiveness of sins, that we could be set free from everything that would divide our hearts. Like, Jesus loved you enough to go all the way for you, even when you weren't even beginning to go any which way for him. If you know that Jesus is worth going part way, then how? What's holding you back from going all the way? What's holding you back from going wholehearted? See, church, I think we need to rededicate ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus. We need to accept the fact that yes, we are sinners, and sometimes we have hearts that are divided, and our hearts are not always wholeheartedly set on him. We've got to accept that we need a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. We have to believe that when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he forgive us of our sins in that first time that we accept him, but he also is able to overcome in us the divided heart that we are struggling with. Like, this is why the gospel is so important, not just for when you first get saved, but even as you continue to walk with him. See, even for those of us who've been walking with Jesus for a little while, but maybe not wholeheartedly, the same faith that it took for us to seek the forgiveness of sins is the same faith that is required even now, that we would say to God, yes, I accept that I'm a sinner and I accept that my heart is divided, and I believe that by the blood of and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you can set me free from a divided heart. I believe by faith, Jesus, that you are able to do it. And then the Bible tells us that we are to confess. We confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's able to cleanse us from every division of our hearts, that we might do what is right in the eyes of the Lord wholeheartedly. Get this now, because this is the good news. See, we can't do this on our own. We can't live wholeheartedly for Jesus on our own. No, we have to submit to him. And then he, by his grace, will empower us to be able to live wholehearted lives for him. Church, I want you to know, Jesus didn't die on a cross for us to just go halfway. He wants us to be wholehearted followers of him. Amaziah was a king who was not wholehearted for God. And we're going to see, even just starting next week, we're going to see how this really began to trip up his life. And I believe that we are actually experiencing some of these ways of being tripped up even now. We don't have to live tripped up. We don't have to live stumbling. We don't have to live going back to sin all the time. We don't have to live going back to old habits. We don't have to live in discouragement. We don't have to live in failure. We can live wholehearted lives for Jesus. What if today you decided to just trust Jesus, that you might have this wholehearted devotion to him as well? What is it that's holding you back? As we sing now, I want to go ahead and invite the worship team to come on back up and everything. As we sing here in just a moment, I want you to really be considering, really be thinking about, really be praying through. What is it that's holding you back? It might not be a bad thing, but the enemy might be using it to divide your heart from Jesus. Nothing should be able to divide our heart from Jesus. Nothing divided his heart from going to the cross for us. In a love response back to him, we should do whatever we can to make sure that our heart is not divided either. Is there anything that's dividing your heart today? Is there anything that you need to confess before God and just repent, believing once again that he's able to fill you with that wholehearted love for him? As we sing, why don't you do that, even right where you are? Confess your love to him. Confess your faith in him. Believe that he is able, and you will see him make that change in your life. Let's sing together.